Bibles. We're going to be looking in Matthew, continuing in our series on home remedies, Matthew chapter 15 today. In your bulletins, there's an outline, looks like this, if you want to follow along. And a few people have asked about our binders. You've seen them back at the information center right behind me on the other side. They have the binders here. These you can put your notes in if you want to. You can talk to them. If there's a cost or something, they'll tell you what it is. But you can put all your notes in there, a place to keep it. Some of you really like keeping track of your notes and, you know, very organized and structured. And then the others of you, I've seen your Bibles. They're just all crammed in there, aren't they? And that's good. That's a good thing. But if you're interested in that, you can talk to them about it. Also back there, if you've ever missed a Sunday, people have asked, how can I get the outlines? There's a folder on that table that says sermon notes, where like last week's, you can get last week's with all the answers and all the blanks filled in, okay? So that way you don't have to miss any of those. Last week we started a series called Home Remedies. In our homes we have these books called Home Remedies that address the things that ail us, and these are some home remedies that we can apply to try to cure them. And I introduce to you simply the Word of God. What does God's book have to say about the things that ail us in life? Because in this world we will have trials and tribulations. Have you figured that out? Okay. So last week we talked about worry. Do you guys ever worry? No? Talking about lying next week. So no, I'm just kidding. We all worry, don't we? All right, well, you can't help but worry. But the question is not how can I stop worrying or find a worry-free place, because there is a worry-free place. It's called heaven, okay? And we will that's our goal, is to be there one day. But how do we get that little heaven on earth? So we addressed worry and learning how to win over worry. And this week what I want to talk to you about is just entitled Ways to Soothe Disputes. You ever go through disputes? You ever butt heads with people? You ever think you're right and the other person thinks they're right, so you both argue because you both think you're right? The funny thing is you could both even be right, but be completely wrong because of the way that you handled it. You could be right theologically. You could be right according to a textbook. You could even be right according to the Word of God, as far as, you know, thou shalt not murder, you know, black and white ink on paper. But if you miss the heart with which God says to have it, you could be dead wrong. And we have these disputes in life. So I want to talk about this morning and try to keep it simple. I'm going to share with you 3 points about learning to deal with these disputes in our lives. And there's going to be a few bullets in there that we'll hit on as well. But family feuds can be a part of life sometimes. They involve people that were once we all got along, but now we're somewhat miles apart in relationships. These feuds are sometimes caused by major breakdowns, but more oftentimes, you know what they're really caused by? Little tiny things. Just little tiny things. Have you ever found that to be true? You could fight and battle over the big things, or maybe even just roll with those big things, but sometimes you'll go to battle over the little things. The teeniest, tiniest things can trip us up. And if we're not careful in our walk with Christ, what will happen is we will trip over the little things, saying, well, looking at the big picture, there's nothing wrong with that. But if those little things trip you up, you'll never make it to the place God wants you to. You know, while I was doing some studying and looking about just some survivors, I've shared this before, it's been a long time, But I was looking at this once again, realizing how we should never overlook minor obstacles in life. Because the moment we overlook them, we'll trip over them. And sometimes these small problems are the very ones that destroy our lives. In 1912, when the Titanic hit an iceberg and sunk, many precious lives were lost. However, James Crutch was one of the few survivors of this horrific tragedy. Can you imagine being on the Titanic and surviving that, seeing all the tragedy that took place, yet you escaped on one of the lifeboats? And while in the Navy, 3 years later, he was aboard the USS, I can't even pronounce it, so I'm not going to try. But he was on a boat, okay? And when a German submarine fired at it, reading from the text here, they fired a torpedo at it. He escaped death once again, for a second time, in the middle of the ocean. He was a man who survived huge obstacles. One day, however, he slipped in the creek next to his house, hit his head, and he drowned in 1 foot of water. Can you imagine? Titanic, being in the Navy, and drowning in 1 foot of water. A man by the name of James Berkeley, you may know that name, he was hunting a man-eating tigers and lions and bears. Oh my, you know, one of those things. But he didn't die from the claws of the lions or the dangerous animals on the safari. No, he died after being scratched in his barnyard by a cat. The scratch developed blood poisoning from that incident, and he died 1 year later. The third survivor that I studied was a man by the name of Charles Blondin, who was a famous tightrope walker. How many of you would like to do that? Tightrope walk. I don't even want to do that across the stage, let alone Niagara Falls. He went across Niagara Falls and he traveled from Canada to the United States with a wheelbarrow filled with sand just to show people he could walk across this tightrope. This courageous man succeeded in walking on the tightrope over extraordinary heights, never died from falling off. Do you know what he died from? He tripped over a doormat in his home and he fractured his leg. Complications developed from the fracture, and he died a year and a half later. You know, there's so many people that have overcome huge obstacles in life, but when it came to the small, trivial, what seemed to be trivial, it was something that actually took them out. It's amazing how people can overcome these large obstacles, but trip over minor tribulations. Although these problems are small in size, they have the potential to do great harm, and we need to pay more attention to these minor problems and never underestimate the damage they can cause. In relationship, the minor tribulations, they can shatter lives. In Matthew chapter 15, the Word of God has something to say about this. Let's take a look at this. Matthew chapter 15, verse 10. He called the people to him and said to them, "Hear and understand, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" And he answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone, they're blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said, "It will explain the parable to us." And he said, "Are you still so without understanding? Do you not see whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach? And then it's expelled. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person. For out of your heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." What God is addressing there is the fact of what is in your heart is what's going to come out. And many times we get into the disputes that we get into simply not because just about preference or what we like, but it's because there's something inside where we do have a preference. There's something inside that we've made a decision. And if we're not careful, we start taking a stand over these trivial things and we end up tripping over them and dying over them. 2 Corinthians, it's in your outlines. I'll read this one to you. It says, "Therefore, we don't lose heart. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Anyone here today having a trial? A tribulation, you're going through a hard time, you're facing difficult situations. God says, fix your eyes on what, not what is seen, but what is unseen, because when you start focusing on Him, you'll get His wisdom from above. When you look at what's seen, you start tripping over those little things. Disputes start to happen. You know, momentary light afflictions will produce a glorious change in us far beyond our comprehension, the Bible says. And if we learn how to correctly handle those cuts and bruises in life, those scrapes, those things that seem to rough us up, we can learn from them and we can become better. We will develop valuable character qualities that we need in life. You know, my daughter, when she was younger, in maybe third or fourth grade, she needed help with her homework. And fortunately, it was math that she needed help with because I enjoyed math. However, I've noticed the Clinton schools have switched how they do math, and now I can't help her out of a wet paper bag. So just the way they do math is different than the way that I had learned it. But at this time, she says, "Daddy, can you help me with this?" And I'm like, "Sure, I'd love to help you." So I sat down with her, and I looked at this, and she goes, "Dad, can you help me figure out this problem right here?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, here's what you do. You look at this, and you move this over there, and move this, do that. And she said, "Wow, that's great." She goes, "That wasn't too bad." She goes, "How do you do that second one?" And I said, "Well, the second one, same process, Dre. You just do this. Move this over here, add that, move that over, and there you go." And she goes, "Wow, Dad, that was good. How about the third one?" Now, I'm not stupid. And by this time, she wanted me to solve the third problem. I caught on and I'm like, "Wait a minute, hold on. You have to do your own homework. I can't do it for you." And then probably she would say, "Well, where's Mom at?" You know, she tried to work both of us. And I said, Dre, we can't do this for, we don't mind helping you out. We don't mind that when you face a difficulty or when you're stuck, you know, ask for help. That's what you're supposed to do. But don't bring it to us, drop it in our lap, and ask us to do the homework. I can't do that because if mom and dad did the homework for you, you would never learn the lessons you needed to learn to pass the test that you're going to take. You know, this can also be applied to the disputes that we face in life. Many times we face difficult situations, we butt heads with one another, and we want to go and just say, God, will you just take care of it? Do the homework for me. And God says, no, I'm not going to do the homework for you. I'm not going to just come along like a genie in a bottle and make it happen, but he will teach us from the Word of God, as we'll see here in a moment, how we can build wisdom into our lives so that when we face the test, we can pass them. Last week, we talked about worry. This week, we talk about disputes. It's important to learn how to gain wisdom to handle disputes, because they will come if they're not there right now. And if you're worrying, they're definitely coming, okay? You're going to face them. But God says, I've given you what you need to overcome all of those areas in your life. So what are some of the sources of these disputes, these cuts and bruises? Three of them I'll give you. Number one in your outlines, write it down. Words and actions that are intentional. Sometimes the disputes that we face are because of words or actions that are intentional. In other words, this occurs when somebody on purpose cuts you. Somebody on purpose maims you, slanders your name, talks behind your back, sets you up for failure. It's people who are intentionally trying to bring harm into your life. That's one of the reasons we get these bumps and bruises in life. This is one of the reasons that we have disputes. Another reason, number two, write this down, words and actions that are unintentional. Words and actions that are unintentional. These types of cuts and bruises occur when someone says something with no real intention of bringing harm to you, but you still feel the pain. It still stings because maybe somebody has shared something about a situation that they don't know you're going through, and it still hurts. The third reason we experience these disputes, and this is the hardest one. This is the one I didn't want to put down, but it's a reality. Self-inflicted wounds. One of the reasons we have so many disputes, and we argue amongst husband and wife, employer, employee, father to child, whatever that might be, a lot of times the worry and the disputes that we bring into our life are because it's self-inflicted. Self-inflicted cuts and bruises, they're the worst and most dangerous ones. A self-inflicted cut is when somebody says something and you add meaning behind what they said. It's when somebody says, you stupid or what? You know, and they may have just flippantly said it, and then you add meaning to that and go, man, I am stupid. What was I thinking? That was so dumb. And we start adding definition to what it is that they said. And what that becomes is a self-inflicting wound. It becomes a self-inflicted dispute. Somebody might say, you know, hey, why don't you take some driving lessons? And then all of a sudden, though they may have been a smart aleck and maybe they were trying to be rude, if you add more meaning to that, well, I really am horrible, aren't I? I've had everyone telling me I'm a horrible driver. I just shouldn't be driving. And all of a sudden, we want to give up and we want to quit. See, these are the self-inflicted types. Sometimes we take what someone else has to say and we add a mutated, perverted heart behind it. And then all of a sudden, it takes on a whole different view. We make it appear as a monster and it begins to take on a life of its own. We've got to be very careful of that, and we've got to catch that. These are some of the sources for the disputes that we face. Everyone's going to face them. Everyone's going to go through times where they bump heads, they don't agree, they get a few cuts and scrapes along the way, no matter who causes them. So how do we rise above them so that they don't become destructive? What's God's remedy? Well, God's remedy, in your outlines, write down, I'm going to give you three of them. Number one, guard your heart. If you're here today and you're going through a dispute, by the way, doesn't mean just a fight. A dispute doesn't mean just an argument. Hey, you know, I believe I'm right and they're wrong, so you know, it's not about winning an argument, but you're going through a season in life where the way you thought it should work out isn't agreeing with the way it's actually working out. And somebody else has something to say about that, and a dispute rises up. What do? You guard your heart. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, let's read it together, actually, because this is an awesome verse. I love it. Ready? Go. Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects every stinking thing. Every stinking thing you do. What's going to affect that? Whether you guard your heart or not. Did you catch this? It's your job. It's my job to guard our heart. Did you catch that part? Did you catch that part? Okay, what about the others? Did you catch that? You've got to guard your heart. You guard your heart. And when you guard your heart, you'll see that it affects everything you do. Because many times we read this and we say, above all else, I hope God guards my heart. That's not what it says. Above all else, he says, you make a decision to set a guard at your heart. A centurion almost, like at Buckingham Palace, where the guard with the big old tall hat, and they stand there. They don't move. They don't budge. They don't talk. All they do is they guard. Have that kind of a guard at your heart. Because there's going to be a lot of things in this world that's going to try to come right through your ear and directly into your heart, and it's going to try to settle there, and you have to decide what you let in and what you don't let in. You know, if somebody comes along and says, you are such a loser. You can't make anything of your life. You know, you're no good. Set a guard at your heart. Don't allow those words to sink into your heart. They may go into the ear, but you don't have to allow them into your heart. Now, if you want to come and say, oh, I love Pastor Jim. He's such a great guy. I'm going to let it go right down there, okay? You know, you want to hear good things, don't you? People are always wanting to hear, be appreciated. And I'm not talking ego or pride. I'm just saying, when God speaks to you and says, you're my son and daughter in whom I'm well pleased, receive that. You have everything you need to overcome anything you face in this world. Receive that into your heart. That's what God is talking about. When you guard your heart, you will see that no matter what it is that you face, you will be able to make it. You will be able to get through it simply because God is in the midst of it. You know, basically, there's three ways of viewing a situation. The first type of perception causes the individual to blame others. You ever meet those kind of people when you face a dispute? All they're busy doing is blaming others. I'm going to blame you. It's your fault. It's not my fault. And they start blaming everybody. Another type of perception is an individual that acknowledges the goal wasn't achieved, but believes that it didn't happen because it wasn't part of God's plan. Or maybe another type of person is one who perceives their perception is based on a completely different definition. Maybe when a setback comes or happens in their life, the individual can perceive that the situation has gone from one extreme to another. The person can see it, though, as not the end of the road, but maybe a new beginning. What's my point? It's about perception. When you're in a dispute, when you're facing difficult times, what really makes the difference is how you perceive it. I've shared it before, two men in a prison looking out at night, and one of them says to the first prisoner, man, look out the window. Doesn't it look beautiful? And he said, beautiful? He goes, what do you see? And he says, don't you see the stars and the moon and how gorgeous it is? He says, it's beautiful. What do you see? And the other prisoner said, all I see are the bars. See, it was a matter of perception. The question this morning is what do you see when you look out the window of life? Do you see the beauty that God created, or do you just see bars? You just see restrictions. Can't do this, can't do that. It'll limit what God can do in and through your life. You know, the New Testament says that we're to build up good treasure in our heart. We're to build up good treasure. Luke 6:45 says, the good man out of the good treasure of the heart will bring forth that which is what? Good. The evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is? For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. We speak from that which fills our heart, which raises the question, what are you filling your heart with? What are you doing to spiritually feed yourself? You get to choose what kind of treasure you're going to build up in your heart and in your life, what kind of definitions you're going to place in the eternal dictionary of your life. Will it be filled with good or evil? The choice is up to you and to me. Now, the scripture says that we're to guard our heart. This means you should place that guard there and make sure that you're guarding it. But what if you've allowed something into your heart? Have you ever had somebody speak ill against you, they've said a word, and it just sunk into your heart, and you didn't know what to do with it because it hurt. It disturbed you. You lost some meals. You lost some sleep. It really bothered you. What do you do in those times? I mean, how do you handle soothing disputes? Guard your heart, but what if something got past the ear and into the heart? Then write this down in that little bullet. Let Jesus wash you immediately. Let him wash you immediately. Why? Because if you don't, infection will set in. You know, this last week, I was outside, and I was thinking about my message and illustration and all that, and I went to bed that two, three nights ago, and you ever do that where you feel like something's in your eye, so you quick, what do? Stick your finger in your eye, don't you? You do one of these where you feel it, and you go, ugh. And I realized after about 30 seconds, maybe I'm not digging it out, maybe I'm mashing it in. And I stopped, and I thought, man, my eye is bothering me. And that was my other eye. No, I didn't want to go jab my finger in it and re-irritate it. But I thought, I did this. It was at night. I'm laying in bed, and I thought, I really should probably just wash my eye. That's a good idea, isn't it? How many of you agree? It's a good idea. Did I do it? No. Why? Because I was in bed, remember? I was comfortable, and I didn't want to get out and wash my eye. So I waited until the next morning. Guess what happened the next morning? My eye was more swollen than it was the night before, and it hurt to the touch, and I complained, and I whined, and I remembered halfway through the next day and thought, maybe if I would have washed my eye when I thought about it, I wouldn't be in the pain that I'm in now. Do you know, if you've let something into your heart, let Jesus wash you immediately. Why? Because if not, infection starts to set in. And what happens is you start getting pain, and there's an irritation in life. And all of a sudden, there's no longer comfort. There's no longer peace. And it takes so much longer to heal. You see, we've got to make sure that we let Jesus wash us immediately. Jesus did this with the disciples in a physical way. John 13, he girded himself about with a towel, took a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet. John 13, in your outline, says, he came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? No, said Peter. You shall never wash my feet, Jesus answered. How many of you right now, if Jesus showed up, how many of you right now, if the staff here at the church said, we want to wash your feet, you'd be like, oh my gosh, my feet. You know, some of us get kind of weird about that. Do my feet stink and my toenails are ugly and they worry about all those kind of things? And here are the disciples, Peter saying, no, I don't want you to wash my feet, not just because he was maybe self-conscious, but because it was an act of humility. And Jesus answered and said, hey, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. You have no part with me. If we don't allow Jesus to wash us immediately, we can't be close to him, is what he's saying. There's always going to be pain in life. There's always going to be infections. There's always going to be bumps and bruises that stand between us. But what we're to do is let Jesus wash us immediately. Not only that, but in the second bullet, write down, refuse to be offended. Refuse to be offended. Did you know that your offense is a choice? You choose whether you will be offended or not. Some of us embrace the offense because then we feel we've got a platform to preach from. We feel like we've got a cause. We feel like we've got a reason to be mad or angry. But God says, no, refuse to be offended. You have a choice to refuse to be offended. If there's anybody that had an opportunity to be offended, it was Jesus. Don't you think? Think about it in the Bible. Jesus, he was mocked, he was betrayed, he was poked fun of. People kept accusing him, falsely accusing him. If anybody had an opportunity to be offended, it was him. And yet he chooses not to be offended and then says, now go do likewise. Isaiah 42:4 says, he will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth. You see, this was a choice that Jesus made. We have that same choice. Are you going to choose to be victorious? Or are you going to choose to be a victim? We always get a choice in this, but God's desire is that we can have that victory. It gives us, sometimes we may have reasons for being upset, but it doesn't mean that we have a reason to embrace bitterness, right? Okay. We may have a reason to be angry about something, but it doesn't mean that we have a reason to stay offended. God says, no, you have to let go of that. It's a choice that you will make. Jesus, even in his own hometown, couldn't do that. Mark chapter 6, verse 3 and 5, take a look at that. Let's read that together. Go. And they took offense at him, and he could not do any miracles there. Sorry, I screwed that up for you. He could not do any miracles. Why couldn't he do any miracles? Because they took offense. Can I say this to you? Maybe you're looking for a miracle in your life. God can't do that miraculous power if we're going to constantly embrace offenses. If you're going to be somebody who wants to be offended, if you're going to be somebody who chooses to be offended, then God is limited in what he can do in and through your life. The most dangerous thing about choosing to be offended is that you've allowed someone else's mistakes to control your destiny. Don't choose to be offended. Another little bullet there, write this down. What do I do? Return to what's basic. Return to what's basic. Cuts and bruises will remind you to return to what's basic. Am I going to give into that person's mistake and immaturity and wickedness, or am I going to let this drive me back to who God has called me to be? Maybe you're going through a difficult time right now, and all you can see is the end. But God's saying it's a new beginning. But if it looks like the end, maybe it's because you're looking at it with your eyes, and he's saying, try looking at it with my eyes. See, God wants a fresh new start for us, but we're going to have to return to what is basic. Sometimes God has to give us these cuts and bruises in life. Have you ever been bumped around? Let me ask it this way. Do you get everything you want perfectly the way you want it? Anyone here? No, we don't. And many times as we go through life, we kind of bump around. Sometimes God will let those bumps come in order to stop us from looking and depending on people as our source of value and start looking to Him as our source of value. See, God wants us to get back to what's basic. Someone once said to me, never despise anything that takes you to your knees. If you've had to go to your knees, don't despise that. Start crying out to God. Let God heal your heart. Never despise anything that takes you to your knees. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says that He Himself said, I will never desert you and I will never forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. You see, He's going to bring us home. He's going to bring us to that place. So never despise anything that brings us to our knees. So, how do you deal with disputes in life? Number two, write this down. Ask for and apply wisdom. How many of you could use some more wisdom in life? We could all use that. Well, God says that if you can use that, simply ask for it. I could use a little more wisdom in my life. James 1 verse 5 tells us about this wisdom that God gives. It's up on the screen there. Let's read that one together. Ready? Go. If you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him and He will gladly tell you. Remember, the scripture doesn't say that He'll do your homework for you. It says ask Him and He will give you wisdom to do what you need to do. Ask Him and He will help you accomplish the things you need to accomplish, but He will not do the homework for you. So what's wisdom? Well, it's really simple. When we come to an intersection in our life, there will be choices that we have to make. And wisdom is when God shows up and helps us see the way, the things the way He sees them. That's what wisdom is. God, give me your eyes to see what you see so that I can do what it is that you would have me to do. God will reveal to you, and He'll reveal it to me, how He would respond in that situation or how He would speak in that situation. And then He says, now choose. Do you want to take my advice and my wisdom or not? Choice is always ours. Now, it's still a choice. We're going to have to make it. And if we choose to agree with wisdom, we have to correct then our hearts and change our perspective. Instead of saying we would like to say, well, let's correct everybody else. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? You know, correct your heart, correct your heart, correct your heart, correct your heart, so that I don't have to correct mine. But that's not what God says. He says, let the Holy Spirit speak to you, correct your heart, so that we can all become better from the inside out. That's what God is trying to get us to. But we have to come to a place where we learn what it means to apply wisdom in our hearts and in our lives. Corinthians tells us that we're to run in such a way that we win, right? So how do we do that? Apply wisdom. Then you start running in a way that you win. Sometimes when we build up wisdom in foolish ways, it leads us nowhere. You know, I try to treat it like a sport. You ever face a situation and you don't know what to do and get frustrated? I had to figure out a way. Proverbs talks about how foolishness is... I just lost the verse. Wisdom is like... what is it that's like sport to a fool? It's in Proverbs. I'll look it up later. And it says that when you apply wisdom, you're to do the same thing. Treat it like sport to a fool. Treat it like a sport to gain wisdom. He says this, when you face a situation that's difficult and you're struggling, ask yourself this, what's the wisest thing I can do? What's the next best thing I can do? When you face a difficulty, what would God have me do in the midst of this? What choice can I make that brings glory and honor to God's name? God says that then when you're using wisdom and you're applying His wisdom from above, you can't go wrong. You won't go wrong. Here it is, Proverbs 10:23. I found it. Doing wickedness, this is going to bug me if I didn't find this. Doing wickedness is like sport to a fool, and so is wisdom to a man of understanding. And what it means is this. The wicked man, have you ever noticed people who did foolish things and would just try to push your buttons? The people that would just try to make you mad? You know, the people that would try to get you to a place where they tried to push you over the edge. I worked with a guy who kept questioning me over the Bible. He really didn't want to know the answers. He just wanted to tick me off. What's up, you know, virgin birth, I don't believe this stuff. Well, where do we get all of this, and where do we get that? And he just pushed my buttons trying to make me mad so that I blow up. And one day I did, and when I blew up, he went, ha, gotcha. That was his whole heart. His whole heart was based on trying to get me to get mad. And that's wickedness. So I had to learn what it meant to treat that like wisdom. How do I do that? What's the next best choice? What's the next thing that God would have me to do? When you do that and start asking God for wisdom and start applying it, it makes all the difference in the world. So, when you face disputes, ask for and apply wisdom. Number three, write this one down. Then, fix your sights on what's eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18 talks to us in the Bible about fixing our eyes on what is most important. It's in your outlines there, and it says that we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In order to keep our hearts buoyant, you have to see not just the cuts and the bruises, not just what he said or she said, because if you do that, it's going to hurt, and there'll be pain in life. But you have to come to a place where you realize that sometimes cuts and bruises are what drive you to find out what's best in life. You know, let's say one day that, let's imagine that we're hiking. Let's say that my wife and I are hiking up a hill, and we go up the hill, and as we're hiking up the hill, let's say that as she goes up there, she loses a shoe, okay? Now, if you know my wife, she loves her shoes. She loves her shoes. And as she drops the shoe, let's say we're halfway up the hill, and she says, "Oh, honey, I dropped my shoe. Will you go get my shoe for me?" And I'm going to look back and say, "Yeah, you dropped your shoe. I don't want to go back and get your shoe. Look at all the weeds and all the sharp rocks and all that we had to climb through. I don't want to go down there." And she'd say, "But if you loved me, you'd go get it." And I say, "Okay, I'll go get your shoe." And after I get about 20 feet away, I start grumbling, because you don't do it in earshot, right? You know, get your shoe, you know, ouch, and that branch hits you, and you're like, why can't she get straps on them things, you know? Come on, ow, and you know, thorns are poking you, and you grab the shoe. And I might grumble all the way down there, and I might complain as I get these cuts and scrapes and bruises because she dropped her shoe, and I get all upset. I say, "Do you really need this shoe?" And she goes, "I bought it at Kohl's, it's special." And so I'm going down there, and I get the rest of the shoes. But my heart was grumbling and complaining the whole time. But now let's imagine that it's the same scenario, and we're climbing up a rock, and we're going up a hill, and all of a sudden, as she's climbing, she falls down instead of her shoes. If she falls down, and she's at the edge of a cliff and starts to roll down there, guess what? I'm going to run down there as fast as I can. I'm going to be jumping in leaps and bounds. You ever take 3 or 4 steps at a time, you know, because you're in a hurry? You got to get down there. You run through the bushes and you run through the thorn trees. And you don't care. You're all scraped up and cut. Why? Because I want to get there and find out if she is okay. You see, many times in life, we're just going along going, "Do you really need the shoe?" And we're worried about the cuts and scrapes, and we want to be right and we want to win, and we forget that there's a greater picture. There's a greater thing at stake, and it's not the little squabbles. It's not the cuts and the bruises. It's not about the disputes. It's about having a heart that's ready to receive all that God has, but sometimes we get hung up on that. But if we saw it for what it really was, some of us are on the edge, and we're ready to fall off. Are you willing to go to that place where you will run, not walk, but run to that place to be there for that person? Are you willing to come to that place and realize that God says that when you fall, I will catch you, but you must apply the wisdom that I give. You must be teachable. You must have that right heart and that right attitude. That's why we can come today for those that are celebrating in water baptism. They've decided not to let it be something where they're just going to bump along in life anymore, but they want to come to a place of surrender and say, "God, will you bury the old and will you raise the new?" Amen. That's the home remedy that God has for us. He says, repent, be saved, and be baptized. But through life, you're still going to experience some cuts and bruises. So what do? You come to a place of learning to ask for, seek out wisdom, and apply it in life. Fix your eyes on that which is eternal, not just the temporal, but that which is eternal. And as I said, my favorite verse, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, because it will affect everything you do. Amen. Father, I pray today that you would just help us understand that as we walk through life, greater is he that's within us than anything else in this world. And I just simply want to ask today, for those of us that are here, and maybe we're experiencing those cuts and those bruises. Maybe we're here today and we've bumped heads with somebody, and we're realizing it's not just about right or wrong or who wins an argument, but it's about having a right heart before you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask for your wisdom from above today, so that as we leave here, we know we can walk in wisdom and not just ask for it and hope and wish it's out there, but we can know that you hand deliver it to us. Lord God, I pray today that we can walk in your wisdom, we can walk in your truth, and Lord God, I pray that most of all, we would just continually feed ourselves spiritually, because then we'll know that we'll always have an ear that hears. Maybe, can I just ask this, maybe you're here today, and you've not made that correction in your hearts. The wisest thing you can do, doing wickedness is like sport to a fool, and so it is for a man of wisdom or knowledge. Maybe today, you've been sporting the wickedness thing. You know, maybe what I mean by that is your heart's not been right. Your mind's not been set and focused on what Christ has. And today you're saying, I just sense the Holy Spirit bringing that correction. If that's you today, just simply raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I need to make that right in my heart. I need to make that adjustment in that area of my attitude. I agree with you, my sister. God sees your hand and your heart. Receive that in the name of Jesus. And know today that greater is He that's within you than anything else in this world. Is there any other hearts here today? See, I just know I just need to make that adjustment in my heart, in my life. I'll wait for just a moment. Okay. Well, Father, I thank you for your wisdom. And I pray today that, Lord, we may walk in that in your name. Amen. Amen. We come this morning to the waters of baptism, and it's a joy, as I said. You know, these home remedies we go through, we're always going to have things that we have to learn, right? Did you know you got to be a lifelong learner? Okay, what about the rest of you? Always got to be willing to learn. And when you know that the Holy Spirit's leading you to a place of not just repentance, but it's a place of getting our hearts right with the Lord, then we understand greater is He that's within us than anything else in this world. You know, the Bible talks often about, a few times here, about water baptism. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, what we're about to do, I've never really understood. Every church may do it different. But the Bible says that when Jesus came to John the Baptist, it says that He asked John the Baptist to baptize Him. And He said, yeah, I want you to do this. He set the example for you and me. He said, because what I'm doing is setting the example to say, I want to bury the old so that I can raise the new, this newness in life. So we celebrate this morning with those that are being water baptized. Let me see if they're here. Come on in. Are you alone, Pastor Chris? Okay. This is dangerous having Pastor Tim and Chris in here, don't you think? Oh, God bless you, Bobby. Well, we celebrate with you as you come to the waters of baptism this morning. And I'm just going to ask, you just want to share your name?
Bobby Evans.
Bobby. Is there anything you'd like to say, Bobby? No? As you come to the waters of baptism, we are just so excited as you take this step of obedience. And as you just say, I just want to bury the old and raise the new. So, Bobby, we baptize you this morning in the name above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. We now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, there you go. There you go. You can come on up the stairs here. There's a newness in life that God gives. You bury the old and you raise up the new. Good morning. Is there anything you would like to share this morning, please?
My name is Lisa Johnson. God has brought a lot of people into my life to help me with my journey and my walk with the Lord. He's used a lot of people from this church, and for that I'm very thankful. And I've come a long ways, but I have a ways to go, and I'm ready and open and ready to be new.
Well, God's ready to walk with you on this step, and today's a day where you're saying there's a change that's taking place just in your walk with the Lord. Again, a bearing of the old, a raising of the new. So we celebrate with you today, and today we baptize you in the name above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. Lisa, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Good morning. Would you just share your name with us and then anything else you may want to?
My name's Patty Ruiz. I love the Lord for a long time, but the Bible says to get baptized, yeah. And so you kind of read that and put it back, and then you keep reading it, and it's like, well, maybe it's time to get baptized.
Yeah.
But I do love the Lord with all my heart.
Oh, well, Patty, we celebrate with you and we rejoice today as you come to the waters of baptism. And upon your confession and faith today in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we baptize you in the name above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you just share your name with us? And
Diane Snyder. I know the Lord for a long time, too.
Yeah.
And I love him with all my heart, my soul, and my spirit.
Diane.
And mind.
Well, we celebrate with you today, and upon your confession and faith today as Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we baptize you in the name above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Will you stand with me this morning? We're so excited. As Pastor Tim had shared, a total of 18 being baptized today. 18 who have said, I feel like the Lord's just called me to a place and has said, it's time to bury the old and raise the new. So we celebrate with them today. God bless you today as you go. Just know this. Don't be surprised when you face disputes. Don't be surprised. Just know this. Ask for and apply wisdom. Focus on what's eternal, and God will give it to you. God bless you this morning. You're dismissed.